Good evening and welcome back to another sharp, witty, and incisive episode of Gillespie. I'm your host, Josh Gillespie. As usual, I have my cohorts and online conservative goodness with me. My co-host, Christy Kelly of ChristyKelly.com and HoosierAccess.com, and Mike Jazerski, also of HoosierAccess.com, on the boards. Our missing cohort tonight is Mark Warner. He is out because he has his job to do tonight. So, you know, hey, that's what he's got to do. Anyway, our guest tonight will be Mike Fichter, president of Indiana Right to Life, which leads me to my opening monologue. I'm going to open tonight's show with a difficult topic, one that often sharply divides men and women, Republicans and Democrats, liberals and conservatives, believers and non-believers, and even husbands and wives. That topic is the A word, the topic that's guaranteed to fire up more impassioned debate than any other. I'm going to state at the very beginning of this discussion that I am a Christian. I believe that God became a man in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, and that Jesus lived as a man, fully blameless, who then died an agonizing death in order to spare me from eternity in darkness. If that sounds like a strong and definitive declaration of my personal faith, that's because it was intended to be. Beyond that, I believe God created man in his own image, and that process begins in the precious womb of the mother. Because of that belief, I am staunchly committed pro-lifer. I'm also curious that those who make the same declaration of faith that I just did then go ahead, often in the same sentence, and state that they have no concerns regarding man destroying God's image in the name of a woman's right to choose. And by the way, feel free to refer to me as being anti-choice, but until the day comes that an infant in the womb is able to choose whether they wish to be cruelly torn from the sanctuary and suctioned into pieces, all in the name of preserving someone else's right to choose, I'll stand by my belief in protecting his most precious creation. But as someone who believes that our leaders are often a symbol of our own views, I'm greatly disturbed by the fact that our current president, Barack Obama, is literally the most pro-abortion politician ever elected into high office in the history of this nation. Yes, I said it. The most pro-abortion politician ever elected into high office in the history of this nation. I picked this topic after watching the video posted on HoosierAccess.com that shows yet another Planned Parenthood worker lying to get another potential patient. This latest video is beyond the normal ones we've seen where Planned Parenthood covers up cases of child rape and incest. In the video we have posted at HoosierAccess.com, the abortion counselor being a term I use very loosely, does her best to make the planned murder of a child to be as clinical and antiseptic as absolutely possible. For the sake of our audience, I won't describe in detail what takes place in the film, though I am forced to tell you that we will be playing the audio from it later in the show. But this so-called counselor does ensure that the term fetus is used in the discussion in such a way as to make you, and presumably the mother, believe that there's just an offensive piece of tissue that needs removal. I am forced to point out at one point the mother asks, "So it's not a person?" To which the so-called counselor responds, "No." Why am I bringing this up in association with our current president? Well, it's because we look to our leaders to get the tone of our society. When Jimmy Carter was president, things were very dark and dreary, with a depressing mood about the nation. Ronald Reagan fixed that and turned things around 180 degrees. The Clinton presidency did more to lower our moral standards as a society than any other leader in modern history. As a member of the Illinois State Senate, Barack Obama voted against, and some say campaigned heavily against, a bill that would require medical professionals to give aid to babies who managed to survive the abortionist vacuum. Up until that point, there existed in Illinois hospitals and abortion clinics barbaric rooms, euphemistically known as comfort rooms, where babies who were victims of this procedure were taken and literally left to die. Let me repeat that. They were brought to this room and literally left to die. There was a bill in the Illinois State Senate that would have required medical professionals to provide aid to victims who managed to survive their own attempted murder. State Senator Barack Obama voted against this bill, repeatedly, most assuredly going home and hugging his own beautiful daughters with that blood metaphorically on his hands. To make matters even worse, he blatantly lied about federal funding for abortions. Yes, I said it, lied. You may recall outgoing Michigan Congressman Bart Stupak held up his vote for Obamacare on the premise that no federal funds go towards funding abortions. Then, Stupak seemed to get an agreement from the president that soothed his conscience, and the rest is history. In fact, President Obama's statement was issued right before he signed the executive order banning Obamacare funds for abortion said, in part, and that the health care legislation's restrictions against the public funding of abortions cannot be circumvented. Now, I know circumvented is a big word for this president, but essentially this statement is intended to declare that there isn't any wording in the Obamacare bill that would allow federal government to fund abortions through any backdoor approach. The problem with that statement is that it's a complete and total lie, and the White House knows it's a lie. You see, just recently, the federal government approved the use of $160 million in federal funds, which will directly fund abortions through President Obama's recently enacted health care law. This is the first known instance of direct federal funding of abortion through what is called the high-risk insurance pools. Pennsylvania has already received approval from the Obama administration to use the funds to provide abortions to pool participants. The abortion funding is available immediately. I guess one has to be a former community organizer to believe that there is a prohibition on funding abortions, though Obamacare and the recent approval, prohibition on funding abortions through Obamacare and the recent approval to do that very thing. Ladies and gentlemen, let me make this very clear. Just as the lowered standards of morality and the decency have remained in our society long after Bill Clinton left office, my greatest fear is that this culture of death and complete disregard for the most wondrous of God's creations will live on as Barack Obama's longest-lasting legacy, long after a Republican president leads us out of our current fiscal insanity upon taking office in 2013. May God have his mercy upon us for using a handful of slick marketing slogans to give cover for the destruction of his most precious gift. You can find this and other commentary on joshgillespie.net. Now on to the rest of the show. So, guys, here we have a president who has blatantly lied to the country, saying that federal funding would not go to abortion, signed an executive order, convinced a Michigan Democrat congressman and 12 others, or excuse me, 11 others. It was a Stupak 12, into believing that his signature would prevent funding of abortions. And here we have Pennsylvania already receiving them.
Did it not surprise you?
It didn't surprise me, but it still didn't. That doesn't take away the fact that I was still appalled that it happened.
First off, we have a president who belongs to a religion that thinks it's perfectly okay to strap bombs to little children and send them into a marketplace and set them off.
That's not proved yet. Of course, if you go
overseas. He did. Now, ask George Snuffleupagus.
If you go over.
He went to, you know, he said so in front of Snuffleupagus and said, he talked about his Muslim beliefs. And then Snuffleupagus had to say, don't you mean Christian? Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, please. That was good old George Stephanopoulos. It's funny, if you go overseas, and especially into Muslim countries, if you say to them that, you know, no, our president's not a Muslim, they laugh at you. But, you know, that's...
Do the people overseas really believe that Barack Obama's Muslim?
No. No, they do. They actually do believe. They laugh. I heard this story from a friend who shall remain nameless, that he was overseas on business, and he was in a restaurant. Meeting with people of the Muslim faith, and the topic of the president came up, and they asked him if he believed that the president was a Muslim, and he said no, and they laughed at him, and they said, "Of course he is." Now, you know, still, the president has said that he is not, and until he comes out and says that he is.
You really think he'll admit that?
I don't think
Please.
He will admit that. I mean, we don't. Right now, our country is not prepared for that.
In any shape or form. That he is. I think he's intimate with Islam, but I don't think he is a practitioner.
He could be probably what many consider a secular Muslim, like they're, you know, secular Jews, or even
sort of like our friend Abdul Hakim Shabazz.
I think he openly calls himself a secular Muslim. I mean, the guy goes around smoking cigars
I guess you could call Abdul a mino.
No, well,
Muslim in name only.
Yes, that's interesting.
I like that. Mike. That's mino. You mino.
The simple fact is, though, is that we have a president out there who's gone against his word, Not that we haven't had presidents go against their words. I mean, shoot, the biggest example, probably the most prime example is of the first Bush presidency.
Read my lips.
Exactly. You know, he campaigned on that. That was the big speech, you know, and then he goes and raises taxes. And not only that basically, outside of Ross Perot, cost him his reelection. And here you have another president who has blatantly lied to the American public and saying that federal funds will not fund this atrocity that is this Holocaust, this infantile Holocaust.
And then we have a Speaker of the House who calls it women's health care.
That's how they champion it. They don't accept the fact that what they are doing is murdering an unborn child. You know, I will openly and freely admit that I believe that life begins at conception. And until that is proven otherwise,
we know it's not going to be. I mean, the biology is pretty basic.
Exactly.
So
it can't be proven otherwise.
But the facts remain, with it being proven, they will not acknowledge it. They refuse to acknowledge it,
and they refuse to change their minds.
Well, they lie about it. They have to distort it. They can't.
All in the name of making sure that they keep this so-called belief of a woman's right to choose. And, you know, frankly, what's funny is that the woman's right to choose, the human's right to choose, ends at, you know, with a child. Because once that child gets born, they're going to be in public education. They don't get an educational choice. But anyway, we are running out of time in this segment. We will be right back. As we come into this next segment, you will hear this video, which I alluded to, that took place in Indianapolis on September 11th, 2009. And we'll be right back here on Gillespie.
Hey, fellow conservatives, when you're drinking your overpriced coffee or a Mocha Choco whatever in the Wacko Latte at Starbucks, you ever feel like you're the only conservative in there? That's because you probably are. But don't feel bad, as you can annoy the bejesus out of those pesky Moonbat, New York Times, and Daily Coast reading liberals by reading HoosierAccess.com. At HoosierAccess.com, you can read the latest thought and opinion from conservatives in the crossroads of America. Annoy the Moonbats at HoosierAccess.com to your favorites today.
Welcome back to Gillespie. Now, I ended the last segment talking about the video that we are going to play in this segment. I just want to give you a quick rundown. We're only going to be playing for you the nurse's audio from this segment, because it's a very visual clip, and you can find this on YouTube. You can also, find, of course, go to Hoosier Access. In the search section, type in Planned Parenthood, and it'll be the first post that comes up. So right now, what we're going to hear is the nurse's audio from that segment.
Probably about 10 weeks and 5 days now. So you would have to do the surgical procedure. The surgical procedure is a dilation, like a DNC. It's just where they dilate your cervix and then use a vacuum aspiration procedure to remove the contents of the uterus.
What's fetus?
Fetus is the what it's termed when it's in the uterus.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not like a person?
No.
When does the heart start to beat?
Usually you can start, it's around, I think, the 8th or the 9th week that you can hear the heartbeat.
There's like people out there and they have like pictures?
Yeah.
What is that? Like, what are those pictures? Why do they have them?
Are those real babies?
I don't know what particular pictures they have.
Those nasty,
right,
like, abortion pictures.
Yeah, they're fake. There's no way that they could have obtained those pictures.
They have, like, a poster and then they didn't talk to us, but they're kind of fake.
Yeah, no, there's no way they could have obtained those pictures.
What do they do with them, like, after they take it out?
It's disposed of just through medical waste.
It's not like killing a baby?
It's not a baby, it's a fetus.
But you, like, for the most part, everything, she'll be okay or everything will go
through. Oh, yeah, I mean, it's a very safe procedure. It's actually safer than carrying to term.
What's carrying to term?
Like, having the carrying the baby to term.
Well, like, having the baby?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In terms of number of complications, it's safer. Having an abortion is safer than carrying to term.
The abortion won't hurt me from having more kids in the future, will it?
Nope.
All I can say there, other than the fact that it is just completely appalling, I remember the first time I saw this video, it was almost a visceral action, except I was at the office, so I couldn't yell or anything. You know, I couldn't say, lies, damn lies!
But that's exactly what they are.
But they are. In fact, the segment where the part of the audio where the nurse says that you cannot hear a heartbeat until 8 or 9 weeks is patently false.
You should know that. I have been through there three times.
I have been through this three times. Christy, you're a mother. You know.
Yeah, I've been through it three times. And
yes.
I'll tell you, you know, I myself had a crisis pregnancy with my first pregnancy. And I know Planned Parenthood has been doing this for many years. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is nothing new. This is how they get women when they're very vulnerable, and it's Planned Parenthood has been able to play themselves off as a charitable organization, and they care about women, but it is about the money.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well,
and making the sale.
It should be known that this video was made by Lila Rose. I don't know. Some of our listeners may be familiar with Lila. She's been on Fox News. Check her out on YouTube. Just type in Lila Rose. You'll be able to find interviews with her. Other
videos. L-I-L-A?
L-I-L-A-R-O-S-E. She has done other videos like this around the country.
Did she do that one of Bloomington posing as an underage girl?
I'm not sure if she was involved in that one, but I don't remember them all, to be honestly, but I know that she has been doing this. She's a college age student, but she's very passionate about pro-life issues. And I believe, it is, called Live Action Films is, who produced this. And it was just stunning because they have this nurse, you know, heartbeat doesn't come until 8 or 9 weeks. Lie. You hear a heartbeat at between 20 and 25 days.
Yes. Well, they also, and other things that they will call this is pregnancy tissue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything to dehumanize the baby.
Exactly.
They almost described this child as if it was like, you know, a piece of snot hanging from your nose.
Well, that's the thing, is that you look at the video, and I mean, That's right. I mean, that's their value of what is growing inside a mother's womb is, you know, of that of which might end up in a Kleenex. You know, when they talk about, you know, the videos, the pictures, you know, that, you know, the nurse, the counselor, whatever you want to call her, the murderess, you know, is basically saying that the pictures that are found of aborted children are lies, and that in and of itself is a lie. Those pictures
pot,
are factual.
Kettle.
It was mind boggling, and yes, I mean, I was just upset.
Well, what we have now is that so many people are going around saying, well, I'm not necessarily pro-abortion, but I'm pro-choice. So now what we
like,
have
what's
are the
difference there?
Well, it's because, you know, they've acknowledged that this is not a good thing. So to counter that, the militant feminists and pro-abortion people are trying to make it into something you celebrate. You see people live tweeting their abortions.
You have got to be kidding me.
Oh, no, there's been more than one live tweet. And they've been well-known. People, I mean, for me, seeing, I read articles about it, which led me to the link on WorldNet Daily.
Holy cow, I didn't think there could be anything worse.
Yes, and the nurse was who was in the case of the live birth abortion where the baby survived. I can't remember, and she has been to Capitol Hill.
Oh, Jill Stanek.
Yes, thank you. I follow her on Twitter, and she was trying to reach out to one of these women, and they were having, and the woman who was one of the women who was live tweeting was having bleeding over several days.
Oh my goodness.
And then all of a sudden, she just quit tweeting. And so I do know that Jill was trying to reach her.
Oh my word!
But I have not heard anything of it since.
That is just appalling. And, you know,
lie. I mean, You should see my, you know, our reactions to this. I mean, this is audio, so you can't see us, but two jaws just hit the floor when Christy described someone live tweeting.
Yeah, there could be a thud. I mean, it took me back to when
this is the abortion pill. They take the pill and then they go home, and then it goes over a series of days.
Okay. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, they're in the clinic with their, you know, all strapped down and all that stuff.
That's what I was thinking because
she's like sitting there with her BlackBerry and tweeting. Well, okay, I feel. What?
That's exactly what was going through my mind because, I mean, people may say this is kind of corny or even a little bit odd, but, you know, I live tweeted my daughter's birth, my third child. I have three kids. I have an older daughter and I have a younger daughter. And I live tweeted because I was finally on Twitter for my daughter Sarah's birth. And, you know, as we're coming close to the end of this segment, I mean, again, this is just absolutely appalling. The thing is that, you know, these women need help and we should offer as much help as possible. And if you're in Indiana, you know, if anybody is hearing this and if they're going through something like this, you know, go to lifecenters.com. They're formerly Crisis Pregnancy Center.
Oh, they changed?
They changed their name. They're called Life Centers. They can be found at lifecenters.com. I know that there are other organizations. Go to a church. You know, there are people there who are willing to help, you know, and if hopefully they won't be judging you, you know, because you're coming for help.
And they don't. I'll tell you what my own personal experience.
We need to wrap this up. Let's talk about your experience actually in the fourth segment. We're about to talk to Mike Fichter, the president of Indiana Rights Life, and we will be right back.
All right, you people on the left and right coast, listen up. If you want to know what your fellow conservatives in the heartland of America, or as you call it, the flyover country, are thinking, go to your web browser and look at HoosierAccess.com. There you will find out what is on the mind of conservatives from the crossroads of America. HoosierAccess.com is the source for news, opinion, and commentary from conservative minds in the heartland. Add HoosierAccess.com to your favorites today. You can also follow at HoosierAccess on Twitter and HoosierAccess on Facebook and subscribe to this show and podcast forum on iTunes. That's HoosierAccess.com. This program is brought to you by the letters Q and T, the number 4, and the Rhinos for Elena Kagan Committee. Now back to your show.
And welcome back to Gillespie. Our guest in this segment is Mike Fichter, who is president of the Indiana Right to Life. Mike, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
In our previous segment, we just listened to the recent video that came out last week from, I believe it's called Live Action Films, the outfit with Lila Rose, if some of our familiars are familiar with her, that basically it was a video taken on September 11th of last year at the Indianapolis Planned Parenthood Clinic, and the so-called counselor there basically just gives a very clinical view of a baby, of an unborn child, and gives incorrect facts and whatnot. What is your reaction? What has been the reaction from Indiana Right to Life on this?
Well, of course, last week we were very high profile in making this video available online and informing people that this new video had surfaced. And our initial reaction to it is how tragic it is that Indiana law has specified that women seeking abortion should be fully informed and receive full information as they're working through this decision. And what we see on this video is really tragic if this is the pattern that Planned Parenthood is using in informing women. You see in the video, for example, this person, I'm not sure what the official title would be, but telling the woman who is portraying herself as someone interested in an abortion and wanting to know more, telling her that the heartbeat of the unborn child starts, I think the quote is, sometime in the 8th or 9th week, which is completely against what we know from science. And then we also have the woman being advised that and abortion will have no impact on having kids in the future. There are a lot of studies out there that show that's not true. So it's very troubling. I mean, here you have a woman making women that are making this type of decision and receiving erroneous information, and it's a problem. It's a problem, and it points out, number one, that Indiana's abortion law is not sufficient the way it's written right now, because the way Indiana's informed consent law is written, it leaves too many wide open areas. It doesn't require that informed consent be delivered in writing to a woman. It doesn't require the specifications of, for example, informing a woman when an unborn child's heart starts to beat. So Indiana's law needs to change. This information needs to be prescribed by the state. It needs to be in writing, something that we can know is being delivered in a factual manner to women who are contemplating abortion. The second thing we believe that it shows, and this is something that we are already speaking very clearly to state legislators about, is that the state of Indiana should remove all state funding, including funding through contracts with Planned Parenthood. We should not be funding this organization. I think they get close to $2 million per year from state funds. That needs to end.
Well, Mike, obviously this is a pretty tight election year. I know that the Indiana House, which is currently controlled by the Democrats, they've been pretty cool, to say the least, towards any pro-life legislation. With a possible switch over in the Indiana House from Democrat to Republican, given that this year has a pretty strong Republican leaning to it, do you see this as an opportunity to pursue stricter pro-life legislation next year in the Indiana House, I guess regardless of whether the Republicans take over or not?
Well, yes. I mean, these two issues of tightening Indiana's informed consent law so that it's actually delivered, the information prescribed is delivered in writing, and the defunding of Planned Parenthood are two issues that we will bring forward regardless of who controls the Indiana House. In fact, we have brought both of those issues forward in each of the last three, four, possibly five legislative sessions. But the reality of it is this, that if the Democrats retain control of the Indiana House in November, that we can talk about these issues. We will even have some members within the Indiana Democratic Caucus who will privately agree with us that we should defund Planned Parenthood and require informed consent be delivered in writing. But as long as Pat Ballard is the Speaker of the House in Indiana, and as long as the Democratic Caucus has its way with our legislation, these issues will be stuffed again in the Indiana House, and they won't see the light of day. So if we're going to advance this legislation, if we're going to be serious about defunding Planned Parenthood in the state of Indiana, we simply must have a Republican majority in the House. The Democratic caucus has proven to us time and time and time again that they are going to kill pro-life legislation. We'll do the same thing with this. In fact, when you look back on Indiana's track record in the past, I believe 10 years, 2 years were controlled by Republicans, and in those 2 years, we passed three laws that Governor Daniels signed into effect. We had three additional bills that tragically were killed on the last few minutes of the 2006 legislative session, I believe. But we had a total of, I think, six bills that went through both chambers, the Indiana legislature. In the 8 years that the Democrats had controlled during that same decade, not a single bill backed by Indiana Right to Life has survived the House. So that's a very clear indication of how important it is that we have a Republican majority in the House in order to pass meaningful pro-life legislation.
Well, recently, as you're probably very much aware, Governor Daniels came out with his idea of the truce. And I think he was looking at it from more of a national perspective of what the next president would have to do. And basically, he's talking about putting social issues such as pro-life issues to the side while addressing the country's pressing fiscal matters. How do you approach something like that if Republicans get the House back in this next cycle and starting in 2011, being able to work with a governor who seemingly has given the appearance that he's not too quick to act on social issues, approaching these issues of tightening Indiana's abortion laws?
Well, I think think we need to be very clear that Governor Daniels has been very instrumental in advancing the pro-life cause down the field during his time as governor of Indiana. And that's something that maybe people on the national level have not seen, but we have certainly seen it in this state. And here's the bottom line. We are fully confident that when pro-life legislation goes through the Indiana legislature, that Governor Daniels will support it when it gets to his desk. His track record has proven that. We've passed three bills that he signed into law through the Indiana legislature. It's under the Daniels administration and its BMV that we were able to get a Choose Life license plate in Indiana after working for years and years and years to try and get that enacted. We also have seen things such as the major medical errors report in Indiana that applies to ambulatory outpatient centers. It applies to hospitals. It also applies to abortion clinics. No previous administration would have dared to have tackled that issue and added abortion clinics into that as well. And even various agencies that the governor oversees, for example, the State Department of Health, we've raised concerns that abortion clinics were not turning in pregnancy termination reports in a completed and lawful manner. And when we issued those concerns and went through the proper channels, what we saw was a correction of that process where any incomplete report now is being returned and the abortion centers are being held accountable for you know, submitting those reports as required by Indiana law. So when we look at the track record, when we look at a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff that happens with Governor Daniels' administration, we can have confidence that he is going to do the right thing on life issues. He will sign the bills when they get to his desk. I think that's very important that we keep looking at that and affirming the fact that we know we've made pro-life advances with Governor Daniels. We know we'll do more, but the block that's in the way is the Indiana House. And if we can get that flipped over to Republican control, we're going to see a lot of really good things happen.
Well, that's definitely very reassuring to know about Governor Daniels' record. And in all honesty, that's not something I knew all about. So that's, you know, definitely something that's been reassuring on my part. I know that, you know, after he did come out on the truce, he did say that he would support reinstatement of the Mexico City policy, which was definitely a comforting move to hear from him. Should he, you know, decide to run for president, which is still unclear, but. Anyway, to kind of get back to the video, what has been the Indiana Right to Life's response, and what can our listeners do to help you with your cause?
Well, I know in our response right now, we're first and foremost raising awareness of this to just citizens across Indiana. We want folks to know how an organization that is just receiving a big chunk of its tax dollars is operating in the state of Indiana. So we have the educational component of this. The next level of it is we're making sure that Indiana state legislators are very well aware of this because they will be the policymakers, and they're the folks that set the budget for the state of Indiana that will determine if money's going in this direction. So I think the number one thing that folks can do to help on this matter is to contact their local legislators, or, of course, we're in a major election cycle here. If you go to a candidate meeting and you've got folks running for public office, you need to ask them the question, do they think Planned Parenthood of Indiana should be receiving any taxpayer money, period? And it's a great opportunity right now to ask people that question, whether they be a candidate or somebody who is an incumbent legislator. You need to stand up and ask them that question. You need to let them know that you don't want your tax dollars going to this organization, and be laying that groundwork already for the defunding of Planned Parenthood, which we hope happens in the 2011 legislative session.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate your time and being able to be a guest on our show. And real quick, what's the web address for your guys' website?
Folks can go to irtl.org, get a lot of information on not only this but other things as well, and they can sign up for all types of stuff, free email updates, follow our Twitter feed and so forth. And we'd love to have people visit the site, send us some feedback. That's irtl.org, and we're glad to help folks any way that is useful to them to provide them materials and alerts on things like this and so forth.
Okay, excellent. That is Mike Fichter, president of the Indiana Right to Life. Mike, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And that is it for this segment of Gillespie. We'll be right back.
All right, you people on the left and right coasts, listen up. If you want to know what your fellow conservatives in the heartland of America, or as you call it, the flyover country, are thinking, go to your web browser and look at HoosierAccess.com. There you will find out what is on the mind of conservatives from the crossroads of America. HoosierAccess.com is the source for news, opinion, and commentary from conservative minds in the heartland. Add HoosierAccess.com to your favorites today. You can also follow at HoosierAccess on Twitter and HoosierAccess on Facebook and subscribe to this show and podcast forum on iTunes. That's HoosierAccess.com.
Welcome back to Gillespie. We just spoke with Mike Fichter of Indiana Right to Life. We had to cut off the second segment. Christy was about to tell us about her story. So, Christy, real quick, I wanted to hear about it. So tell us about your situation.
Okay, in brief, you know, I was young. I was 19. I was 20.
That's still young.
I was 20, and, you know, and I found out I was pregnant. And mm-hmm. coming from a Baptist background, this was not a good situation. I actually had several people, not from my family, mm-hmm. but and I'm not going to say who, but I had several people in different directions pushing me to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thankful that the place that I found out where I was, that I was pregnant, was not a Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. It was a crisis pregnancy center. And the crisis pregnancy center basically took me as a young girl back to my roots. I was in tears. She got the Bible out mm-hmm. and she asked if she could. And I said, please do. And it was such a powerful moment for me. And after, you know, I had my baby and life settled down, I went through the training myself and mm-hmm. I became a crisis pregnancy counselor. And I did the crisis lines mm-hmm. at night. I'd have the phones at night transferred to my house. And I would counsel these women who were so vulnerable. They were so scared. They don't want to have abortions. They want to be told the truth. Mm-hmm. They would ask me, is this a real baby?
Well,
they
want the truth. You heard the girl in that, even though it was staged. It was set up, but I mean.
No, not staged. The nurse thought she was a real patient.
Well, that's true. Yeah, the nurse thought she was a real patient, but the person there was asking questions, you know, wanting to know the truth.
They did. That's exactly right. That's what these women, they deserve the truth, because afterwards, when you have your own baby, mm-hmm. When you do have a full term pregnancy and you deliver a live baby, that's when you realize that abortion, you have to live with it, that you terminated mm-hmm. your baby's life. I praise the Lord that I did not make that choice, that, you know, I it's unfortunate that I had to make the choice, mm-hmm. but, I guess it depends where you go. I was at a crisis pregnancy center, Planned Parenthood. What mm-hmm. if they would have sold me the lies?
Yeah.
But I did have the roots. I did have foundation with my parents. So
sure.
that helped a lot.
You say you were 20 when you had when you were pregnant. My mom had me at 19.
And it's, well, you know, and not to put you in a similar light here, Mike, but, or even you, Christy, but we've seen the video that the Super Bowl didn't want to play. Of
Tim Tebow?
No. Of how President Obama could have very well. I mean, he came from a single mother. She wasn't a single mother. But I mean, the situation was
no,
such
she
that
was,
it could have been,
she was a single mother.
Okay, the situation was such that he could have been an aborted child. And regardless of what we think of the president's politics or his theology, I mean, he is a human life and. He survived the womb of a single woman,
didn't he?
And, you know, real quick, I know we need to get to our weekly segment, and we're not going to pass it up. But here, just one final story that I heard when I was at church this weekend of a friend of a guy at my church who they were having their final child. It was, I believe it was the woman, the couple, they were an older couple, and they went to the nurse, they went to the doctor, the OB said that, you know, the likelihood of this child, it's going to be a Down syndrome baby. The likelihood that it survives, you know, normally 5%. And they encouraged a DNC. They encouraged an abortion.
Wow.
And they decided against it. That child was born normal.
Wow.
And now, you know, it's their daughter. She is, you know, an intelligent student at
that
college.
Is amazing.
And it almost came, you know, and these people, they're not believers.
How many babies have been lost to this?
I don't know. I remember a couple years ago it was 35 billion. I think we're up to 40 million now. Anyway, we need to get this. We need to get the headiness out of here. We need to lighten up the mood. And so it's an odd transition, but we're doing it anyway.
Go for it, Josh.
This week's Tuesday Evening Stupid is brought to you by Republican candidate for Tennessee. Republican candidate for the governor of Tennessee, Basil Marceau.
I'm BasilMarceau.com, the Republican candidate for governor. I'd like to recall all permits and registration for guns. Everyone can carry guns. If you kill someone, no, you get murdered. I mean, you go to jail. And I'd like to plant grass or vegetation across the state with any vacant lot and sell it for gas so we can use it for our expenses. Also, I'm going to remove all gold fringe flags from the state and apply the real flag with three stripes. I also want to stop traffic stops. Set it up like the Supreme Court ruled in Noel versus Iowa. If you can't find evidence in a car, you can't look. I want you all to vote for Basil Marceau. I want you to say the Pledge of Allegiance to a Republic in the morning when you come out. And we all pray to God and say amen. And everyone have a nice day. And I see it all at the polls. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Oh, my gosh. Was that just not painful? I mean, I saw this tweeted last week.
I was so hoping that there would be a D after his name.
I know you wanted it to be, but frankly, you know what? Here on Gillespie, we can be equal opportunity shafters. And here, we're going after Republicans.
I'm Forrest Gump.
And
people call me Al Gore.
I mean, you know, you want to feel for Mr. Marceau.
I feel for Mr. Marceau's mama. I'm so embarrassed for her. This is so sad.
Here's the thing.
Is in the town he's probably from in Tennessee, you know, there might be a full set of teams between them all.
I'm sure we have a lot of wonderful listeners from the great state of Tennessee.
Let's not be mocking Tennessee. My brother and his family currently live in Tennessee.
It's a beautiful state.
It's a beautiful state. Very low property taxes and no state income tax.
But Tennessee is one of the three states in the union that has, or at least did have at one point until it bankrupted the entire state, socialized health care. It was called TennCare.
Yeah, I heard about that.
TennCare. My brother was under TennCare briefly, and he was talking about the Tennessee state economy and how it was just decimated by TennCare. Doctors have fled the state. And here you go. Another aspect of Tuesday Evening Stupid is talking about TennCare. Stupid. Socialized medicine, it doesn't work, people. The people in Massachusetts are figuring it out. The people in Oregon are about to figure it out. I think they have it, too. I could be wrong.
The whole country's about to figure it out real quick.
Basil was on his way to get rid of that. And frankly, if there's one area where I could probably agree with Basil is getting rid of...
Do you want a Basil bumper sticker?
I do not want a Basil bumper sticker. But, you know, here's the thing. Tennessee actually has a reasonable, believe it or not, Democrat governor.
Phil Bresden.
You may recall Phil Bresden was one of the few governors who came out against Obamacare, said that
it was his own party.
He said his state did not want to accept funds. They're going to be out of it. You know, we're from the right, all right? From the right radio here. And here we're lauding a Democrat. I'm not saying that Phil Bresden needs to be defeated Basil is not the guy to be carrying the Republican flag. And
Basil
here's the thing.
Won't be speaking at CPAC next year.
Unfortunately.
And here's the thing. Tennessee.
Alvin Green.
Tennessee has an open primary. If you listen to that and you did not think Alvin Green at the very beginning, you got something wrong, because Basil Marceau is Tennessee's Alvin Green. And frankly, you know, if you're the Democrats and you say we got a good governor here, you know, he's reliably or somewhat conservative. He obviously opposed the Obamacare plan. Do you want Basil as your candidate? You know, as the Republican candidate, if you're a Democrat. Heck yeah, you do.
Thankfully, I believe there are other more qualified candidates in Tennessee.
I hope and pray to God that there are more qualified candidates in Tennessee. I believe The video said that there were five candidates, and I'm going to presume that Basil Marceau is the Richard Boehner of of Tennessee.
Basil is not their best.
Are you sure
brightest.
It's not the Tony Zirkle?
Well, I don't know if I don't know if Basil walks around in a white hood. Or chills at Hitler's birthday parties in Chicago like Tony Zirkel does. For those of you who are not familiar with one Tony Zirkel, he was the second congressional three Republican congressional candidates in the second district of Indiana, South Bend area, the last two cycles. Fortunately, he was beaten soundly each time, but still.
And the great porn dragon lives on.
I mean, if Gillespie had been on in 2008, he would have taken the cake for the years Tuesday Evening Stupid, because the guy was pictured at Hitler's birthday party, and he tries to play it off as if, oh, it was nothing. You know, I was trying to convert them. Holy cow, not the place. Anyway, Basil Marceau is this week's Tuesday Evening Stupid. And be on the lookout, joshgillespie.net this week. We're going to put the next week's Tuesday Evening Stupid up for a vote. You guys will be able to check it out. I'm hoping that we'll have the poll up, we'll say Thursday. Hopefully that gives us enough time to find enough stupidity going on. Congress is back in session this week. It should be.
Well, when Sheila Jackson Lee or Hank Johnson open their mouth, you've got Tuesday Evening Stupid candidates.
Pretty much. Anyway, so that is this week's Gillespie. My extreme thanks to Mike Victor, president of the Indiana Right to Life. Of course, as always, my wonderful co-host Christy Kelly and Mike Jazerski. Always doing well, guys. Our best to Mark. He couldn't be here tonight, but he'll be with us hopefully again next week. Stay tuned for the Aaron Proctor Show, followed by the Duke Over America, Smart Girl Report with Jenny Erickson, and the Armchair Energist. This has been Gillespie. We're signing off. See you again next Tuesday.